Thank you for those three holy grunts. Appreciate it. Everybody say, we serve a God of miracles.
We serve a God of miracles.
Say it again, we serve a God of miracles.
We serve a God of miracles.
Last week, you remember, I told you that when Jackie was admitted to hospital in February 2019, that the Holy Spirit spoke to her. She hadn't been diagnosed yet with myasthenia gravis. She was in hospital for various issues that she had. And while she was being showered, Holy Spirit spoke to her and said to her, you are going to have a life of miracles. Expect miracles, miracles, miracles. And it has been just that. I thank God that He spoke that word to her. She heard clearly. We've held on to that word, and it has brought us through some of the biggest storms we've ever had to face in our life. So say this with me.
I expect
miracles,
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 miracles
in my life.
In
Jesus' name. You'll get what you expect. That's what is important. And I believe with all my heart that the promised church is going to be known as a house of miracles. Even as Pastor Lindsay prayed this morning, and we've been believing that God is going to do some remarkable things. I am standing with all my faith together with Jackie, believing that the next 10 years in our life and ministry will be greater than the previous 40 years combined. And that we will see people healed in the worship service. We will see people healed through live streaming. We will hear of people being heard just by listening, because God is the one doing it. In Jesus' mighty name. And I'm just so glad to be part of what He's doing. Amen. Thrilled about it. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I want to share with you two ways how that you can receive a miracle, or if you're needing a miracle, two ways that you can receive your miracle. Number one, stand still. Number two, press in. Stand still or press in. Two different ways to receive your miracle. Now, I want to start with a testimony. When Jackie received Jesus as her Lord and Savior, she was living at home, and her mom kicked her out the home. Her and her sister were real close in every way, the best of friends, and her sister turned her back on her. So she was pretty much homeless. Well, in that situation, there's nothing we could do. They didn't even attend our wedding when we got married. So there was a deep hurt and rejection. And I don't know if you've ever been through something like that when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there was a rejection that took place amongst your friends and family. All we could do was to believe God from a distance, trust God, love them from a distance, and stand still and let God be God. Well, after Cindy was born, Jackie wanted to return back to work. And so what we did is we reached out to Betsy, her mom, and asked her if she would come and live with us. It was a big choice. It was a tough thing to do, but she agreed. So we were excited about that. She came to live with us so she could take care of the children so Jackie could go back to work. Well, she was a chain smoker. I mean, 40 cigarettes a day, two packs. And she is now around 50 years old, and she had emphysema. You know what emphysema is? Your lungs give up the elasticity, the little bubbles called in your lung, and you can't breathe. Now, we could hear her in her room during the night with a window open, breathing while she was smoking. See, when you get addicted to nicotine, you can't break it easy unless you get God's help. Maybe somebody prays over you and you break it. Well, we invited her to church. And one Sunday she came. She gave her life to Jesus. Now, she loved God. She was just never born again. She just had never met Jesus. She knew about Jesus, but she had never met Jesus. And she got to meet Jesus. She received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And that night at church, they were doing a water baptism. So she went and got baptized in water. Let me show you the pictures of her water baptism. There she is, a frail little lady. 50 years old. That is our pastor there, George Dillman. Go ahead, show me the next picture. Down she comes and out she comes out of the water. And she comes out of the water speaking in tongues. Never mind anything else. This lady just got born again a few minutes ago. Here she comes out speaking in tongues. Well, what she didn't know was that God instantly healed her in the baptism pool and gave her brand new lungs and delivered her from cigarette smoking. That's what we talk about when we talk about conversion. Hallelujah. Boy, that is a Lexus or Cadillac conversion for you right there. That night she slept about 10 hours right through. She didn't wake up. She didn't desire a cigarette. We left the next morning for work. And she was going about her business, and Cindy put in a little stroller and was walking with Hayden. She went to the store about a mile away. She walked up the hill, came back without puffing or panting, no desire for cigarettes. We got home. This little lady was like exploding. She says, "You cannot believe what has happened to me." She said, "I think I had an operation last night. I've got new lungs. Listen to this." She says, I can breathe. And I have no desire for cigarette smoke. Nothing at all. I'm completely healed. And I can't understand. I'm just in love with Jesus. I mean, she was beside herself. Well, she continued to serve the Lord until she died very young, 57. We had already moved into the ministry. We were down in Valcom, and Cindy would write little letters to her mom, to Oma Betsy. Oma is another word for grandma, you know. Okay. And loved her because she had been raised by her. And if I can't, you finish it, okay? Sunday morning, she was sitting on a little bed at home, in her house. She fell over with a heart attack, died. She was reading Cindy's letter. She had her tithe in her hand. All right. I can do this. God sometimes waits until the 11th hour to complete our miracle. I think because he has to wait for us to get to our end of ourselves. We try so hard. And he has to wait because if he doesn't, we'll think we did it. I'll tell you a story. It's in the Bible. Moses had just died. And Joshua's about to lead the people out of the desert into the promised land. Only there's a problem. It's called the Jordan River. And it's in flood. How are they going to cross? I have a word from God for you today. He's going to take you out your desert. And he's going to cross your Jordan. God is going to do something for you. So, God gives Joshua a plan for a miracle. And I believe God has got a plan for your miracle, and he's going to reveal it to you in Jesus' name. So let's read the story. Joshua 3, verse 7. The Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They'll know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. Take a few steps into the water and stand still." The first way you receive a miracle that I want to talk about today is standing still. Go as far as you possibly can in your natural ability and then stop trying. Stand still by faith and let God do it. You have to reach the end of yourself. When you throw your hands in the air, and you say, "Okay, God, it's over to you now." They were surrounded by their problem. They had problem this way, they had problem this way, and they had problem this way. How were they going to overcome their problem? But God was going to make a way through this problem for them. God has a plan. Say that. God has a plan. God has a plan. Say it one more time. God has a plan. God has a I want you to stand still this morning and see the miracle that God has for you, because you are going to cross over. You're not going to stay in your desert. You're going to come out of your desert. God has made a plan for you, and He's going to reveal that plan for you, and He's going to make a way for you to get through. The only problem is you first have to stand in the water. You got to move out from where you are, and you have to move forward towards your problem. You can't stay where you are. You have to make a move towards the issue. Now, here's the good news. The priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which was God's presence. And God said, "Take my presence ahead of the people." I want you to know something. God's presence is going ahead of you. He has already sent His angels. He's already making plans. He's already moving ahead. You may not be able to see it. You may not be able to know it. I want you to know this morning, the presence of God with you is going into the water with you. You're not there alone. So when you get into that situation, you say, "God, I feel like I'm alone. I feel like You've left me. I feel like I'm forsaken." Know this. He is with you, and He's working out a plan. Like we sang this morning, He is with you. He is beside you. He's behind you. He's gone ahead of you, and He's all around you. In Jesus' name. Standing still is not struggling. It's a rest. It's a rest. And so many of us, as we deal with the issues that we're facing, we feel like we're treading water and the waves are breaking on our head and we just can't keep going anymore. But you've got to get to that place where you say, "God, I'm going to rest now, trusting Your presence has gone ahead of me, that You're going to make a way." Let's continue reading. Verse 13. "And as soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall." You see, you've got to believe God is doing it. God said, "This is what I'm going to do." Step into God's miracle by faith. God is going to release some things in your favor. What did He do? He said, "I'm going to stop the river upstream." What I'm saying to you is this: God is going to turn the tide for you. And those things that have been flowing against you, He's going to stop the flow that's been coming against you. Thank you, sir. Verse 14. "So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks." Not only was it just a Jordan River, it was overflowing the banks. It was flooding. And they had a cross in the midst of this. "But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away." Listen carefully. They did not see the water backing up. They stepped in, and a great distance away, it started to back up. You see, God is moving in your life on your behalf, and you can't see it because He started working a great distance away. He's moving things that are got to be moved. He's changing things that got to be changed, but you can't see it. You're standing right here in the water, believing God is doing something, and He's saying, "I'm started a great distance away, but it's going to change your life." You've got to stay right there and stand still and see the miracle of God that He's working in your life. Don't throw the towel in just because you can't see it happening. You've got to trust God. You've got to stand still and be at peace. He's moving on your behalf. "And the water below flowed to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry, and all the people crossed over the town near Jericho. Say this, I'm still standing. Say it again, I'm still standing. Amen. God is making a way. And the second way you get a miracle is that you press in. You press in. Now, there's two different ways of receiving miracles. In April of 2017, Richard and Snae Jana's baby girl, Nikki, she's only 8 months old, was diagnosed with leukemia. And she was diagnosed immediately a few days of being in hospital that they diagnosed her with AML, which is acute myeloid leukemia. And this diagnosis was a high-risk AML, which meant there was very, very little chance of the baby surviving. I wanted to show you a picture of Snae Jana holding little baby in hospital. Only 8 months old. And that's a good picture, trust me. I want to show you some of the other pictures, but that's a good picture. They said this. We knew there was nothing we could do but trust God. We knew we needed a miracle. Based on the diagnosis, there was absolutely, in the natural, no chance little Nikki was going to survive. But they had to press in. This is different to standing still. This is pressing in. The question is, how did they do that? How did they do that? What did they do? This is in their words. We had to hold on to the word of God. It was our very life. They read the word of God. They spoke the word of God. They declared healing scriptures. They prophesied over her. They claimed God's promises. They took scriptures and photos of little Nikki looking healthy. And they pasted it right above her little body. Her lifeless looking body. They filled the room with praise and worship music. And they praised God for her healing. And they thanked God for everything that he had done on their behalf. Where did they learn to press in? Right here. Right here. You see, they joined us 11 years ago. It was the second Sunday. You were on honeymoon. You were first, so you stayed on honeymoon, he came back. Okay, got it. So Richard, you were playing with us the very first Sunday we opened in San Marcos, the Civic Center. So they've been with us for 11 years. And they learned to understand faith. They learned to understand how the Word of God works. They learned to understand what praise does. They learned to understand declaring scriptures. People, it is so important that you are in the right church, because you could die, your loved one could die, your children could die, if you don't know how to believe God and how to stand on the word of God. How to press in. The Promise family, we prayed for you at P3 constantly. We prayed at our pre-service meetings for little Nikki and for the family. We went down, the church members went down and visited you in the hospital, prayed down there for you. We did everything we possibly could. Nikki had to have 5 rounds of chemo, and she needed bone marrow transplant. Now, as St. John says, they're mixed. So little baby Nikki is half African-American, mixed from Russia, Bulgaria. All right, thank you for that correction. Do you happen to be from Bulgaria as well? Are you from Bulgaria as well? You stick together then, okay? All right. So finding a donor match would have been extremely difficult, okay? Well, the doctors found a young man around 30 years old, or 23 years old. Thank you. Everybody's correcting me this morning. It's their story. I'm happy with that. And a German, and he was a 10 out of 10 perfect match. And what's more, he had the same blood type as Nikki. And the bone marrow transplant went amazing. It was crazy. But listen. At one point, Not only did little Nikki have leukemia, she also had rhinovirus, and she also had bacterial infection simultaneously. And this is without an immune system, because they, you know, they destroy the immune system. And then Nikki also got a condition called VOD, which is a tremendous life-threatening condition because of damage to the liver because of the fifth round of chemo that she had to go through. And then 8 months went by, and they brought little Nikki home from hospital to continue the journey of recovery. But I have great news for you today. Little Nikki is healed. Let's see some pictures. Come on. She's healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a good praise. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say miracles, miracles, miracles. I expect miracles in my life. Now, to be transparent, Snejana said that in the middle of this huge storm, she felt many times like she was forsaken. She had many times when she questioned God. But let me tell you something. That's normal when you're going through a tsunami. I'm telling you as your pastor, this is a normal thing that happens when you can't see light at the end of the tunnel, when you feel like there's no way out. But, she never, ever gave in and allowed her feelings to ultimately dominate her faith. And that's what I'm telling you. If you're feeling that way today, if you got questions today, and you're feeling this way about someone that you love or your own condition, it's okay. But don't stay there. Step into the water. Believe God has gone ahead of you. Press in and say, I believe in the name of Jesus. Don't stay in that depressed state. Don't stay in that place where you question God, because you cannot get victory in that condition. You've got to get into faith again. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Well, this brings me to my last miracle story of the day. Let's go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Let's read together. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Oh my, that sounds like the medical profession. But can you imagine this dear woman's state of mind? What she had gone through 12 years, and spent all the money that she had, okay? And yet she'd had setback after setback. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you said, who touched you? And they looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. What did this woman do to receive her miracle? She pressed in. She pressed in. Just like Richard Snejana pressed in. There comes a time when you have to press in. The first thing she heard about Jesus, I'm going to tell you the six things that she did to press in. The first thing is she heard about Jesus. Now, why is that important? Well, because the scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of Christ. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. She heard. Now, let me just say this very clear, very clear. If you're in need of a miracle and you're facing a tsunami, the most important thing you've got to do is find out what Jesus says about it. Because what Jesus says about it is going to bring faith for you to get your miracle. So this woman found, she heard what they were saying about Jesus. The next thing she did is she believed what they were saying about Jesus. She believed it. See, so often you'll tell somebody, I heard about a miracle when I was in church today. I heard about little Nikki that was healed from leukemia. You go tell somebody. And then the person will turn around to me just like Doubting Thomas. Well, unless I see, unless I feel, unless I hear, I won't believe. And there it is. You're trying to impart the story of the miracle. You're trying to impart the good news of the gospel. You're trying to impart the love of God to them. And what they do, they throw up a barrier and they don't believe. They reject. So listen carefully to me. She not only heard, she then believed what she heard. The third thing she did is she spoke out what she believed. She spoke it out. The Bible said, she said this, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be well. That's what she said. If only I may touch his clothes, I will be well. You see, what she was applying was a spiritual principle that Jesus gives us in Mark chapter 11, 23. He says, if a person does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So she was applying this principle without knowing about it. She heard about Jesus. She believed what was said about Jesus. And then she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She was using her faith to believe, man, there's power coming out of this man. If I can just get to him, touch him. She was using her faith. She was speaking out words of creation. Listen, your words are for creation, not only communication. Say that with me. My words are for creation, not only communication. You might want to write that down. I think it's one worth remembering. My words are for creation, not only communication. So you can change your life. You can change the situation. You can bring about that miracle that you're needing right now if you will use your words and what you have in your heart, your faith, speak that out. I could say it simply this way. There's a miracle in your mouth. Say that with me. There's a miracle in my mouth. That's something you want to write down if you're making notes as well. There's a miracle in my mouth. So, you know, a lot of times we just expect God is going to do something completely on his own without our participation. In both miracles, in fact, all the miracles I've shared with you this morning, there was a participation by the person receiving the miracle. I.e., you had to walk into the river. You had to take the presence of God with you. You had to stand and believe God was moving the waters where you couldn't see them. Yes, you had to stand still, but there was participation with it as well. And then you heard in Betsy's miracle. You heard in St. John and Richard's miracle. They had to press in. And this woman had to press in. Part of pressing in is beginning to say with your mouth the miracle that you want to come to pass. You have to believe in your heart. If you are dying, if you're dying of a disease, it's a killer disease. And every time somebody asks how you're doing, you say, well, I've only got so many weeks or months left. Doctors have said I'm going to die. I'm dying. There's no way I can live. This is the end of me. Had Richard and John had done that, little Nikki would be in heaven today. Had I done that, my precious wife Jackie would be in heaven today. Paul and Kathy had the joy of coming to visit our home this week to say goodbye to Jackie. Kathy still can't get over it. She is just stunned. And so is Paul. About that little woman and her faith and her energy and her drive. She said, I'm coming back to church. I'm coming back in December. COVID or no COVID. I'm coming back in December. She's telling me I'm going to sit right over there. You're going to, nobody behind me. You protect me from the people in praising and worship, but I'm going to be sitting right over there. And she said, I'm going to come here and I'm going to talk to the people. I'm going to tell them. And she said, I want to pray just for the sick. I don't pray for anybody else, just the sick, because I'm believing for miracles, miracles, miracles. That's your pastor. You have to press in. You have to press in. And this is your turn. Now God is saying to you, use your words. How many of you have ever raised a child and get to 2 years old and they speak a little bit, but when they want something, and you say to them, use your words. God is saying to you, stop the crying, use your words. Come on now. Stop your crying, use your words. Speak your miracle. Decree your healing. Call forth your financial breakthrough. Change those things in your life. Use your words as a miracle in your mouth. You can have what you say if you'll believe it. Number four, she acted out what she believed and what she had spoken. She went forth and touched. Verse 27 said, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind the crowd and she touched his garment. Now, you know, there's a lot of people touching Jesus for different reasons. Curiosity, he was like a rock star. People are trying to move in there and just bump him and touch him and everything, you know. They was like curious what would happen if I touched him. Everybody's bumping him. That's why, you know, the guy said, you want to know who touched you? Are you kidding me? Use the word of knowledge. Come on. My joke. Okay. Anyway, Jesus had a knowledge. He had a sense within him that power had gone out of him. He could feel it. There was an anointing that went out of him. He said, no. There's people bumping into me and touching me and everything else, but somebody touched me today with faith. Somebody reached out to me and took a hold of my garment. Somebody took the healing power that is in me. Somebody got a miracle today. I know power's gone out. Come on, somebody. Take what Jesus is offering you this morning. Take what he's offering you this morning. Somebody. Don't just be part of the crowd. Bumping into Jesus, coming to Jesus, singing the song. Stop the singing of the songs. Touch him. Receive from him. Reach out with your heart. Speak those words of faith when we worship God. Receive the blessing as we sing the blessing. She received her healing. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And number six, she felt in her body that she was healed from the affliction. You see, people make this mistake so often. They wait for the feeling to tell them that you're healed. Her feeling came right at the end. Right at the very, very end. See, feelings come after faith has done its work. Feelings come after faith has done its work. Never before. Never before. Because you see, so many people are waiting for the feeling to tell them God's word worked. Your feeling and your sense can never verify the scriptures. Your feelings come after your faith has verified the scriptures and believed them and spoken them out, and then it will come to pass in your life. Now, this woman was considered unclean. By Jewish law, they should have stoned her. She had no business being in the crowd. So she took her life in her hands when she pressed in. But she thought, I die if I stay, and I die if I go. But I'm going to go. I'm going to choose Jesus over my circumstance. Listen carefully to me. She pressed in because she had reached the end of herself. She knew Jesus was the only answer. What about you? What about you today? Stop looking to somebody else to help you. Stop looking to the bank. Stop looking to somebody else to do something for you. Why don't you turn your eyes on Jesus and know that Jesus is the only answer? Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the person that's got the deliverance you need, the healing you need, the way out. It is only Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other way. And don't let people stop you getting to Jesus. The crowd was blocking her. She had to get down low. She had to press in. She was so afraid because when Jesus said, well, who did this? She came fearing and trembling and fell down. She thought she was going to get in trouble for being there. She pressed through the crowd. Press through the crowd of naysayers in your life. Press through and declare Jesus is the solution in my life. Declare I've put my faith and trust in Jesus. Don't let them talk you out of your faith. Don't be ashamed of Jesus in your life. Don't let circumstances stop you from receiving what God has for you. Jesus has a miracle for you if you'll give him a chance and turn your life over to him. Every eye closed. Every eye closed.